Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Zvachim Daf Kuf Aleph. We begin on the second line of the top, Tanur Rabbanan. We have learned the following in a brisa, which we'll describe in great detail what occurred on that day, on that special day of celebration, the eighth day of the Miluim, which happened to fall out on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the second year of the Midbar experience. It was when they inaugurated the Mishkan. This was the last and final day of that inauguration celebration, which happened to be Rosh Chodesh as well. And there were many karbonos brought on that day. And actually, it was a big tragedy that occurred on that day as well, when two of Aaron HaKohen's four sons died. Nadav Avihu died on that day, rendering them, his brothers and his father, into a state of oinin. They were oinin, who typically are precluded from eating karbonos. And if you're just a plain kohen, as opposed to kohen gadol, a plain kohen may not do avoda when he's an oinin. And so it happens that they actually burnt. They decided to burn one of the karbon chatas, the Seir Rosh Chodesh. And Moshe Rabbeinu, upon encountering that scene, was perplexed. He says, why? Why'd you do this? He challenged them, and Aaron HaKohen responded. There was this back and forth, until Moshe Rabbeinu actually conceded with great humility. He says, you're right. You did the right thing. Now, what exactly occurred? What was the background behind the story? Tanur Rabbanan. So Moshe Rabbeinu is actually telling them after the tragedy, he says, eat the mincha. They had a mincha on that day. They had three carbon chatas. They had a chatas called chatas hamiluim, special for the miluim day. We had a chatas Rosh Chodesh, which is a typical standard recurring monthly chatas, not, you know, special to that day, but it happened to come out on that day as well because it was Rosh Chodesh. There was another soyer, another goat soyer chatas that was presented by Nachshon, the first of the 12 Nesiim that offered his karbonos. So there were a total of three goats, three carbon chatas, only one of which was burnt. Tanur Rabbanan, Hichein Tzuveisi. Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, eat the mincha as I was commanded by Hashem, despite the fact that you're in a state of oinin. Today is different. Today is an exceptional day. Proceed without hesitation. And then he says, Kasher Tzuveisi, as I have commanded you. And then he says, Kasher Tzivash. What is this repetition about? Right? So, actually, the psukim, the way the Gemara brings it, is a bit out of order. But the point is that there was a repetition. Kichein tzuveisi, kasher tzuveisi, kasher tzive Hashem. Explains the price. When he says kichein tzuveisi, because this is how I was instructed, his message was, ba'aninu siichlu, they should eat the mincha despite being in a state of oinin. Later on, when he says kasher tzuveisi, he was merely referring back. Why don't you eat it? Kasher tzivesi, as I have already instructed you way back when you experienced that tragedy. Bashas masa, when it happened, Amar Lahem. And when he says Kasher tziva Hashem, his point was, I'm not making this up. This is by way of direct instruction from Hashem. Lo yimei Eli, it's not my own opinion on the Yomer that I'm expressing to you. Now clearly from this price that we see that Oinin was not an issue on that day. They can eat the carbon despite being Ramini with a kasha. Because in the following brisa, it says just the opposite. Actually, the chatas was burned because there was nobody to eat it. No customers. Because they were oinim. And that was expressed by Aaron HaKohen. He says, look, look what happened to me, Ka'ela. Look what's going on here. And Moshe Rabbeinu responded with full acknowledgement. So here we see oinim was an issue. And earlier we indicate that oinin is not an issue. How do you work this out? Omar Shmuel, guess what? There are two opinions. There are two different ways to understand what happened and to explain why they burnt the carbon. Holy gosh, ha Rabbi Yehuda, ha Rabbi Nechemiah. The first price is Rabbi Yehuda speaking. No issue of oinin. Whereas Rabbi Nechemiah says, yeah, actually oinin was an issue. The Sanya, as we find in the following price, that explains why they burnt the Sa'ir Rosh Chodesh. Mipnei, because Aninus, Sarfo, because they were in a state of Einin. There were no customers. L'kachnamar Ka'ila, as indicated in the word Ka'ila. Whose opinion is that? Divrei Rabbi Nechemiah, who says there was no heter to eat in a state of Einin. Okay, so his opinion is reflected in the second brisa. However, Rabbi Yehuda, But Rabbi Shimon and Oynin, they disagree. Oynin was not an issue because it was, you know, a special exception made on that day. And actually, we played two manistrafah. The only reason why they burnt the carbon, because it so happens to be that it got tummy, as we're going to see later. In fact, we have three questions on you, Rabbi Nechemiah. You're saying that they burnt it because of the aninus. Shema to Omer, because if you suggest, if you insist, v'pnei aninus nisrfa, the reason for burning was due to aninus, so why suffice with only burning one? All three goats, all three carbon chattas should have been burnt. No customers. Hayu shlashtan sheyisarfu. Question number two, davar acher, hayu roi loichlan la'erev. Okay, forget about eating it today. But tonight, right? It's already the night after. They can eat it. Tavarach, a third question to you. No customers? I understand the brothers and the father were oinin. What about the uncle, Pinchas? He was an uncle. He was not an oinin. Tavarachar, vale Pinchas ayyaman. He was with them. He could have eaten the carbon. Okay, and actually the Gemara will respond to all three questions soon. In any case, we seem to have a contradiction. Brisa number one says, Oinin is not an issue. Brisa number two says it is. So according to this pshat of Shmuel, while Rabbi Yehuda holds at the first Brisa, Oinin was not an issue. In fact, they only burnt the carbon because they got Tamei. Whereas according to Nechemiah, the reason was because they were Oinin. Rava Amar, he has another approach in resolving this apparent stira between the two Brises. Idi v'idi, both Brises are Rabbi Nechemiah speaking. Well, like Kasha, the answer is like this. Even Rabbi Nechemiah, who says, Oinein must keep back, but that is only with reference to an ordinary standard carbon, like the Sa'ir Rosh Chodesh, which was a regular standard recurring carbon, which so happened to fall out on that day as well. An Oinein may not eat that. But Kache Sha'a, timely carbon, special celebratory carbon, is unique for that day. There was a special dispensation made for the oinin, and he could eat it. Kan b'kachi shah, the first brisa, which indicates that there's no issue with the oinin, that's on the kachi shah only, the mincha, right? Kan b'kachi deris, second brisa, which indicates that the reason for burning was because of oinin, that's unique, that's regarding, specifically regarding the generational one, the Rish Chodesh one. For that, there was no heter. Okay, so bottom line is, according to this approach, Rabbi Yehuda says no issue with Einin at all during that day, whereas Rabbi Nechemi says no issue for Einin only regarding Kachi Shah. Okay, now let's take a step back and take a look at the psukim surrounding this episode in Parsha Shmini. We have the whole description of events and Moshe Rabbeinu discovering the burnt carbon, wondering why it was burnt, confronting Aaron HaKohen with all kinds of questions, which triggered his response, and Moshe Rabbeinu's ultimate acknowledgement as an expression of his great humility, right? So we have different ways of understanding what happened. Because ultimately, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, the reason why it was burned was due to aninus. According to Rabbi Yehuda, due to tumah. Let's go through the play-by-play. Rabbi Nechemiah, heichem etaretz lanikroi. How does Rabbi Nechemiah interpret these psukim? And likewise, Rabbanon, the other opinions. How do they explain the psukim? Okay, first is Rabbi Nechemiah. Metaris Lohochi explains the psukim like this. Moshe Rabbeinu approaches Aaron HaKohen, Mador Lai Chaltim, why did you eat this carbon? Why did you burn it? Amar Loi, Moshe Larm. So Moshe Rabbeinu right away proceeded to suggest many, you know, reasons, possible reasons why you would have burnt it. So he went down the checklist of deficiencies. Did this happen? No. Did that happen? No. He says, Shema Nichnas Dama Lefnai Lefnim, perhaps it became deficient, became possible because its blood was inadvertently transferred into the heichal. Okay, perhaps the kohen took it in there, unauthorized importation to do the kapara in there. Maybe that's why it became possible. Amar Lo, he says no. Aaron HaKohen says no, that didn't happen. Hein lo yuba stam. No, actually the blood was not taken inside. Okay, next option, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Shema chusm chitzasa yatzas. Maybe it went the other direction, went out of the confines of the Mishkan. Maybe that's why it became possible. Amar Lo, he says no, b'kodesh ha'is, it was inside all the time. Third option, v'dilma ba'aninus akriv tua upas lesua. Could it be that one of the sons were makir of the carbon, and they are ordinary kohanim. Kohanim had yoitim who cannot do it when they're einim. Maybe that's what happened. Amalai, so Aaron HaKohen responds, no, Moshe, my brother Moshe, do you think they did the akrava, which would invalidate the carbon because they're einim? Ani grafti, I'm the Kohen Gadol, right? And the Kohen Gadol, as we know, was Aaron HaKohen was the one that brought the carbonus on that day. And the Kohen Gadol, even when he's an einim, is okay to do akrava. Okay, so he went through three possibilities. Check, check, check. So Moshe Rabbeinu now was wondering, so if none of these went wrong, so why did you burn it? V'amar Ali says, Hey, who has done it? The blood wasn't taken inside. Okay, the Shoisa, and it was inside, not outside. It wasn't taken out of the year. So then, the obvious question is, Achol Toichlu Oisak Asher Tzivesi, should have consumed it, like I had told you, Banin Sheikhlu, it should be eaten, even though you're an Oin. Amar Ali's Aaron HaKohen responds, Latikreno Isikaila, V'achalti Chatas Hayom. You think, after I experienced this tragedy, it's appropriate for me to eat the chatas? I'm an oinein. Sure, I can be makriv, but not eat. Hayita b'nei Hashem. You think this would find favor in the eyes of Hashem? He went on to explain. Shema lo shemata al bokat shesha. Perhaps when you heard from Hashem that an oinein can consume, despite his aninus, that's only with respect to celebratory, timely karbanis. But not regular karbanis like the chatas of Rosh Chodesh that we burnt. Because with respect to, you know, ordinary, recurring karbanis, that should be off limits for the oinin to eat. Based on a kavachayim, we maser hakal for maser sheni, which is lighter than a karban, which is off limits to an oinin. Certainly this, uma maser hakal, even maser, which is lighter. Amar Torah says an oinin may not eat it. Lo yichalti b'oinin mimenu. Certainly b'kachayderes l'koshkin. Certainly a karban, which is higher. And that's why we couldn't eat it. And that's why he got burnt. Moshe Rabbeinu heard that, and he acknowledged. He conceded. Miyad, immediately, without hesitation, without trying to, you know, cover for himself and excuse himself. And Vayishma Moshe. Moshe heard this argument. Vayita Be'enav. It found favor in his eyes, and he accepted it. Hoida. He immediately admitted and conceded. V'lay Boish Moshe Leimar Lo Shamati. Instead of sort of covering for himself and, you know, well, actually, you know, interesting, I never heard this from Hashem, that's news. Right? He didn't try to cover for himself and, you know, cover for his shame, so to speak. And Elo Omar, he says, Shamate v'shachachti. He acknowledged straightforward, he says, actually, you're right. Not only are you right, Hashem told us to me, I heard this from Hashem, I forgot. Okay, so he expressed to Aaron that in fact he's not infallible, and totally acknowledged. So this was Reb Nechemi's approach. Moshe Rabbeinu suggested many reasons why it could have been, you know, become possible. All of them did not actually happen. So what then is the reason? And ultimately he acknowledged Aaron HaKohen's response, which was that the Einin, although it could eat Kachay Shah, but not Kachay Dairus. And that's why they burned the Sarash Chodesh. Okay, having crystallized the event based on Rabbi Nechemi's approach, now let's shift over to the other opinion. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, who learned that Einin was not an issue. Actually, the reason why it was Sreifa was because it was Tumah. Heichim Metatzilul, how did they explain the Pesukim? This is the way they learn it. Once again, Moshe Rabbeinu approaches with a question. Why didn't you eat the chatz? Why'd you burn it? And he suggests some possibilities. Maybe it became possible for this reason, for that reason, for the other one. Perhaps the blood was transported into the hechel. No, Sir Aaron says no. No, it would never happen. Next question. Perhaps it left the Beis Hamidrash. That's why it became possible. Amar Loi, no, he no kodesh. It was always here. Third question. V'duma baninus akriv tu upas l'sor. Perhaps the oinim offered the carbon and made it possible. Amar Loi. He responds to his brother Moshe, my dear brother Moshe, hey nikrivo. You think they did the akrava, the sons, the pasul baninus, where aninus would interfere? Ani krafti, I the kohen gadol, aren't a kohen at the status of kohen gadol. I did the akrava, which is okay even by an oinin. Next question was, okay, Vidilma, perhaps agav mirareichu, perhaps due to your distress and bitterness, due to the tragedy, pashatabu, you were negligent in guarding the carbon, vitamoy, and that's why it became tamay, touched something impure, that would happen, amaloy. Once again, Aaron responds, Moshe, my dear brother Moshe, that's how you regard me? You think I would have been any less careful because of my, you know, distress? Kachani beinecha? Is that how you view me? Shani mevazik hashemayim, that I would be less than, you know, respectful, less than careful regarding the kachay shemayim and cause it to become tamei. Vatekvenu yisi ke'ela, and he expresses himself with what feeling. He says, look, even if another one of these tragedies, chas v'sham, would have occurred to me, afilu eila v'ke'ela, right? That's why he says ke'ela. Even another one like this. This and another one. I still would have held fast and stayed focused and guarded the karbanis. Impossible. That's not why. In anima vaza kachishamayim. Amrloi, so now Moshe Rabbeinu was sort of stumped. He says, none of these things happened, so why did you burn it? Vi, and if it's so, that hein lo yuvas damo, the dam was not taken inside. Uba kadoshoy, so it was always here, never outside. So why don't you eat it? Ocho techlu oisa, vakoyitz kashatzi veit, I already told you to eat. Vaninus, yechlu, it should be eaten even though you're an ayin. Amrloi. Iron responds. Shemalo shemata balayu. You know, typically, as we learned yesterday, at least according to some opinions, the state of aninus extends into the night after the Yom HaMisa as well. But either way, that only applies in general situations. But over here, all agree that the aninus would end at the end of the day. They would have access to eating karbanos that night. So in response to Moshe Rabbeinu's question, why don't you eat it? He says, we have to wait till nighttime. Amar lo, he says, Shem lo shemata al balayla. Perhaps the halacha that you heard from Hashem to allow an onion to eat, that was only tonight. Dibayim, because during daytime? Certainly not. Kavachim, Maaser HaKal, that could be learned from Maaser Sheni, which is off limits to an onion. Uma Maaser HaKal, even Maaser, which is a lower level Kedusha. Amar Torah, Torah says, onion, hands off. Lo yichalti b'onion mimenu. Koydesh chamar l'kosh concerning karbanis. I couldn't eat it today. We had to wait till tonight. Miad Moshe, Vayta Be'enav, Moshe heard, and he acknowledged with great humility, great integrity. Loi Moshe, Moshe, Loi Mar, Loi Shemati. He wasn't embarrassed. He said, well, I didn't hear. Elo Shemati V'shachachti. Actually, he says, I heard and I forgot. Okay, so that explains why they couldn't eat it right away, but why they burn it. They should have left it till tonight and eaten it then. Okay, they couldn't eat it now, but leave it around till tonight, eat it at night. The answer to that is that unrelated to this whole, it became tummy. Tuma ba'oines basa. There was an accidentally it became tummy, not to, due to negligence, some sort of lizard landed on it, became tummy. So ultimately, the reason why they burnt it was because it became tummy. Okay, so now that sums up both approaches to the sugya, to the chain of events. We know that there was a tragedy. We know there were many karbanos, only one of which was burnt. According to Rav Nechemya, the reason was because they were oinonim. They could not eat the Sarosh Chodesh. According to the other shittas, they could have eaten it tonight, but it happened to be that it became tummy. Bishlam l'rabbon. Now, certainly according to the second opinion, the Rabbanon, Hainu l'chsev hayoyin. That explains why Aaron responded with the word hayyim. We couldn't eat it today. Certainly tonight, but not today. Elor Nechemya, Mayim, according to Nechemya. Who says, look, it depends which carbon. Kochei Shah, those celebratory, you know, timely carbonis, can be eaten even today. In contrast to the Kachay Doiris, the Rosh Chodesh one, could not be eaten even tonight. So, day, night is not really a defining factor here. So why do you even reference the word Hayoyim, my Hayoyim? Chayvaseh, he meant to say that the Yisrael Rosh Chodesh, which typically comes on a day like today, like Rosh Chodesh, that could not be eaten. That's what he meant to say. Because we're oinonim. Okay. Vishlam el Ramachem Yehan Yuchzib Hein Hayayim. Later on in the Pasuk, Aaron says, Hein Hayayim. Right? Beginning of the Pasuk. Hein Hayayim Yekriv. Hein Hayayim Yekriv. So again, Hunter Ramachem, it makes very much sense. The Hayayim, right? The Chayvas Hayim, the Rish Chodesh Karban, is what we're talking about. And that's the one I can't eat. Ella the Rabbanan may hein hayayim. According to the Rabbanan, why is he even referencing the fact that they were makriv today? What does that have to do with the conversation? According to the Rabbanan, it wasn't a factor whether it was this carbon or that carbon. It had nothing to do with the discussion. He meant to say like this. He was just explaining that the carbon did not become pasul due to the fact that it was processed by an ayin, that was tended to by an ayin, by his sons. He meant to say like this, my hein hayayim, what does hein hayayim mean? Hachikam, it means hein ikrivu? You think they, the sons who were ayinim, were makar of the carbon, which would invalidate the carbon? No, hanik, they did it today when they were ayinim. No, hanik crafty, I did it, I was a kain gadol. Which is unaffected, who's unaffected by the Einin state in terms of being makrif, his ability to makrif karbonis. And that's why it's still kasher. And then, the conversation continues until the conclusion. Okay, so going to Nechemiah, the reason for Sreifa was because of the Aninos, which precluded their consumption of the carbon with no customers. It had to be burnt. To that, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon responded with three questions. A, burn all three carbonis. Why only one? B, eat it tonight. 3, give it to Pinchas. Now the Gemara will provide answers to all three questions. Amar Mar. So earlier we had the question, Hoyle Shloshtan Shisarfu. Burn them all three? My Shloshtan. So first of all, which three are we talking about? Let's first get the facts right. The Sanyu of Abraisa, the Pasuk, which describes Moshe Rabbeinu's wonderment. Vei Soira Chatas, Doroish, Doroish Moshe. He was wondering, what happened to the Soira Chatas? Why'd they burn it? We have the word soir, hachatos, doresh twice. It's more than just one carbon that was happening then. So the word soir, zu soir nachshin, that's the soir chatos, the nachshin brought him, he was a nasi. The word chatos, u chatos shmini, that was a special chatos for the 8th day miluim, the 8th day of the miluim, which was a public carbon, special for that day. Doresh, that's the Soir Shal Rosh Chodesh. That's the recurring, ordinary Soir Rosh Chodesh. So a total of 3 Soir Chatas. Yochel Shloshtan Isrifu, perhaps all three were burnt. No, only one was. Tamloim Avinei Soiraf. He noticed one of them was burnt. Only one. Echad Nisraf, only one was burnt. V'loi Shloshtan Isrifu, but not all three. The Pasuk phrases it as Doroish Dorash Moshe. He was wondering. What's the double wonderment? He was wondering why this one was burnt, the other one was not burnt, right? Darash, darash, day drisha is lama. What's the double drisha, double, inquiry? Amrlu. He had 2 questions. Simultaneously, he says, look, I noticed one burnt, the other one's not. Chatos nisrafa. Why was this one burnt? Ve'elu menach, the other one's just sitting there. And not being eaten. What's going on? Now, we still don't know which one was burnt, which one of the three. Beni Adei Ezu. How do we know which one it was? Kshu Aymer. When Moshe Rabbeinu continues and says, look, he should have eaten it. V'oysa nosen lachem losis esavonu eid. In fact, this chatas that you burnt, what a pity. It was an opportunity. It's meant to be mechaper, to atone for sins. Now, which one is that? Which soir chatas plays that role? Havi Omer is a Soir Shal Rosh Chodesh. That's the one of Rosh Chodesh, which Rashi brings based on the Gemara Shvuos. It's Mechaper and specific Averis. Okay, so we know there were 3, and only one was burnt. And back to the question, why only one was burnt? Shapi Ka'amrle. It appears that their argument is valid. According to Yerub Nechemiah, the Sreifa was because they were Einain, burn all 3? Oh, the answer is he makes that distinction, he draws that line. An Oine may not eat recurring karbanis, but certainly he agrees there was special dispensation for them to eat that special, those special daily, those special unique celebratory karbanis, the timely karbanis. Rav Nachman follows his opinion to Amar, who says, Kachi Shah le Pasul Baninos. Aninos did not interfere with the special timely karbanis. Hence, the only one burnt was the Rosh Chodesh. Next question was Amar Mar, Hoy lo lechlo le'erev, they shouldn't eat it tonight. After the Aninos expires, no, Shaper Kamerli, it appears like a good argument. The answer is Kasabri, he holds Aninos la deraisa. He holds there was no heter to eat it tonight. The Aninos spreads, extends into the night. So that's it. There was no way to eat the carbon. Dabar Achla, the third question was, Pinchas, what about Pinchas, the uncle who was there? They could have given a team to eat. No, Shaper Kamerli, it seems like their argument is valid. The answer is Savala Krabilos. Rav Nachman holds like Rav Elazar, who holds that Pinchas was not yet given that status. Eventually he was, when he killed Zimri, took a stand to protect Yiddishkeit, but until that point he was not a kohen. Don Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Chanina, lo in this guy Pinchas, at shehargu leZimri. Pinchas did not become a kohen until he killed Zimri, as it says, v'hoyis leZarei achra b'skunas ha'olam, only then did he become a kohen. Rav Ashiyam actually was much later in history. It was in Sefer Yeshua. There was a story there with the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuben who settled across the Jordan. They felt distance from the Beis HaMikdash, so they made their own altar. And Klal Yisrael, upon hearing that, got very nervous that they were deviating, and perhaps so they were going to challenge them and wage war with them. And Pinchas, they said, well, hold it. Sent a delegation, and Pinchas went to hear them out, and he came back with good news that their heart is totally dedicated to Hashem. It was just a way to connect to Hashem, and they have good intentions. So he restored the peace between the tribes, and then he was zoicha to be a kohen. Rash Yoma Acher Sam Shalom Ben Ashvatim. He became a kohen when that happened, when he restored peace. Shenamar Vayishma Pinchas a kohen. Here the pasuk relates to him as a kohen the first time Pinchas a kohen, to indicate that he became a kohen at that point when the Siyah Eda and the leaders of Yerushal Fi Yisrael. Interestingly, Tosfos points out that he really should have been a kohen from way back in the time of Zimri, but he says perhaps it took a while. He says Zemalim Yisratzu, perhaps they weren't all agreeable. Klal Yisrael wasn't really agreeable to make him a kohen because he killed the Nasi, the Shevet, Zimri, until he sort of restored his standing amongst Klal Yisrael when he acted as a successful ambassador in restoring the peace and bringing back. So then they were all agreeable to sort of give him that status. Very interesting. Very interesting thesis. Okay, in any case, we have two psukim. Did he become a kohen during the time of Zimri or later on in Yeshua's time? Now, what does the second opinion say that says it only happens later? What does he do with the pasuk back in Zimri's time? Indicates that he became a kohen. That's only a blessing, meaning he was given a bracha, and sort of that in the future you'll be a kohen, which only happened later. V'idach, so the process started then, but it culminated later on. V'idach nami yoksiv vayishma Pinchas a kohen. The opinion that maintains that it happened earlier. What about the pasuk later? It says Pinchas a kohen. Old yachas ar achro. Certainly he himself became a kohen earlier, but it means to say that due to the restoration of peace that he facilitated, he was zeichad, and now his descendants will become kohanim gedolim. In fact, Rashi brings, shloi hoya kohanim gedolim elu mipinchas. Throughout history, the kohanim gedolim were only from Pinchas's progeny. Continues the Gemara with another anecdote. Amar Rav Moshe Rabbeinu kohen gadol hoya. Although Moshe Rabbeinu was really a Levi, his brother Aaron became the kohen. But during the Miluim, he served as a Kohen Gadol, and as we're going to see later, it was a lifetime appointment. He was a Kohen Gadol, he was on that status. In fact, he would take a portion from the Karbonos, even the Kotche Kotchem, like any other Kohen. Shnemar, as the Pasuk says, by the Miluim, Me'ela Miluim, L'Moshay L'Mani, he had a portion of the Me'ela Miluim, which is Kotche Kotchem. Meis Ve'ikam Takash. You see, a minute ago, we had a question. Why burn the carbon? Give it to Pinchas, who was a kohen and available. Now, why focus on Pinchas, which seems to be a whole... According to you, Moshe Rabbeinu was a kohen gadol, so give it to him. Meisvei, the kasha was, right? Here comes a kashya from that braisa. We had a question. Give it to Pinchas. Who was there? The misa now. What you're saying is correct. Lema. Instead, he could have asked, give it to Moshe to eat it. And says the Gemara, maybe he wasn't really available to eat. He was busy learning with Hashem all the time. Dilma, Shani, Moshe. The third Mishchina, perhaps Moshe is not really relevant here because he had no time to eat Karbanis. He was busy learning with the Shechina. The Ramayas, it says, he was up and down the mountain, always busy with Hashem. Moshe, Bashkamala, Bashkamayar, this was by Har Sinai. He went up early, came down early. Okay, that's why we picked Pinchas, although technically Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen. Basically, it comes a Kash. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen. The pasuk here, Lechem Aleikav min Mikachi HaKadoshim, Umin HaKadoshim Yoichal, is teaching that even a Balmum, a blemished Kohen, although he can't really serve, but he's entitled to a portion of the Karbonis. No matter what, Kachi HaKadoshim, the highest level, or Min HaKachim, lower level, Yoichal. Why mention both? What's the point? Just mention one and you'll know that he can eat everything. In Memru Kachim Kadoshim, once we go with the higher one, Lomer Nem Kachim Kal, why speak about the lower one? In Memru Kachim Kal, if you speak about the lower one, Lomer Nem Kachim Kal, why go back? Why do we have to mention both? The answer is because if only one is mentioned, you wouldn't know the other one. As follows. Ilu Loy Nemru Kachim Kal. If we only speak about the higher, not the lower one. Perhaps I can speculate and say, Kachi Kadoshim Hudaich. Perhaps there's a reason why the Balmum is entitled to Kachi Kadoshim, because Sharei Huchu Lazar, we find throughout history that exception was made to give Kachi Kadoshim even to a Zar, a non Kayin. And it more assumes at this point it's Moshe Rabbeinu during the Meluim. That's how the Brisa seems to. Right? For Lehenna, therefore, it's allowed for the Balmum as well, as opposed to Kachim Kalam, where we don't find any exception. Rashi explains that the Kachim Kalam we're talking about is the Chaz of a Sheik, the certain parts of the Shlomim, which typically goes to a Kohen. You don't find it shared with a Zar. Lo Yachal, so perhaps the Balmum as well does not have access to that. That's why we mention Kachim Kalam as well. Yeah, he does. Vilu Lanemar Kachim Kajashim. On the other end, if we only speak about the lower one, not the higher one, I would say, the Kachim Kalam, yeah, there's a reason why the Balmum is given Kachim Kalam, Shem Kalam, because after all, they're of a lower level. But Bekadja Kadashim, which is a higher level, perhaps he doesn't partake in that. Lekach Nemru, that explains why the Torah had to take the trouble to single out that a Balmum is entitled to a portion, whether it's Kadosh Kadashim, Lekach Nemru Kachim Kalim, we have to discuss both. End quote. Let's just focus on that one line. Kadosh Kadashim had exceptions. Ketanim, so what do we say? Shari Huchu Lazar. Bilahem, since it was allowed throughout history to a Zar, to a non-Kayin, perhaps to the Balmum as well. Now, who's this elusive Zar that we're talking? Where do we find that? Lav Moshe, we're assuming it's Moshe Rabbeinu. What the status of an ordinary person, a Zar, and was given the Kachi Kadoshim. Apparently he was not a Kayin Gadol. No, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kayin Gadol. The Raisa meant a Kachi Kadoshim at times is offered even to a Zar, where? In a Bama. When you have a mizbeach, you know, outdoors, where you can bring, you know, an oila, you can bring a mincha, any carbon that's donated can be brought on a bama. And a mincha, of course, is kachi kadoshim. Ukedibra oimerish mincha b'bama. Going to the shita that you can bring a mincha on a bama. And of course, in a bama, kain doesn't play a role. Kain is only for the Beis Hamikdash. If you bring a carbon in a bama, anybody can do it. Even a Yisrael. So that's your exception. That's your case where Kachi Kadoshim material can be accessed by a Yisrael. Because a Yisrael can eat Mincha Nebama. So that's the exception that we're talking about. But of course, when it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, we certainly agree with Rav, the Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of a Kohen Gadol. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow with Hashem on this topic. In any case, we more presented for us a detailed play-by-play description of what happened in Parsha Shmini after the great tragedy of Nadav's passing. His brothers became Einanim, likewise their father. And ultimately, one of the Karbanos were burnt, the Tzairish Chodesh. One explanation is because they were Einanim. They could only eat the special Karbanos, not the recurring Karbanos, and that's why they burnt it. The other opinion holds that no, they could eat it at least tonight, but the reason why it became The reason why it was a bird was because we happened to become tummy. We had several kashas, which were answered. We learned about the timing of Pinchas's appointment to Kahuna, and the fact Moshe Rabbeinu had a status of a Kohen Gadol as well. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.